Welcome to Generous Impact. This is Brett Brummett.
And this is Amanda Brummett. We are joined today by Gilbert Tabonye, founder and downtown coach for Gilbert's Gazelles. In this episode, you'll hear how Gilbert has created a community of runners that train together, encourage each other, support each other, and challenge one another. They don't just run together, they are truly a community. And Gilbert is the glue that holds them together. Our very own Brett is one such gazelle. He could barely run a mile when we were new to Austin 4 years ago. Now he's run several half marathons and even finished a full marathon last year and has an incredible community of friends from the group. Well, Gilbert, thank you so much for being here with us today. I would love it if we could start by just telling us your background. Who are you personally and professionally?
First, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to be with you this morning. For those of listening, my name is Gilbert Tabonye. And Tabonye, I have to explain where that name comes from. Tabonye. Tabonye is an African name that I was given when I was born in Africa. I was born and raised in Burundi. It's a small country south of Rwanda, west of Tanzania, and east of Republic of Congo. We are separated by a big lake called Lake Tanganyika. And growing up in Burundi was very difficult. It was hard. We didn't have water in the house. We didn't have electricity in the house. So you can imagine your life without water and electricity. So my daily routine was to get up in the morning to go fetch water for my family. And we didn't have a transportation to school, so I would run 6 miles away. Imagine your elementary kid going to school 6 miles walking. And I was climbing from 5,000 to almost 7,000 feet of climbing. And I would stay at the school playing with my friends. And that's the life I lived growing up.
And then, Gilbert, when did you move to America?
April 8th in 1996. That's when I moved to this country. I was coming to study at the same time as prepared for the Olympics. And after the Olympics...
Wait. You were in the Olympics?
The Olympics, I didn't get a chance to run, but I carried the Olympic torch, which was a cool moment. And knowing my history, what I went through, we'll go back later. I'm just giving you a quick how I made it here, and then we can go back. In 96, after the Olympics, I applied for college because I wanted to, one of my dreams being a young was to run for NCAAs. And for those of you who don't know, NCAAs is a college, league, what I call league, to be able to compete. To me, was my dream growing up. And so I was admitted to a lot of colleges, but I chose Abilene Christian University in Abilene, Texas. And then when I was at the ACU, I ran track, I ran cross country, I was a national champion. Then when the school was over, looking for places to go, I ended up in Austin. And being in Austin, it's been my second home. It's a beautiful place to be. I moved here to Paul Carosa, owner of Runtex, gave me a job. I was a shoe salesperson. I was doing all kinds of stuff, and throughout Runtex, career, selling shoes, working with runners, I met incredible people that helped me change my life, and also starting a running group called the Gilbert's Gazelles, at the same time co-founded the Gazelle Foundation, a foundation that provided clean water to the people where I grew up in Africa, in Burundi. And so it's been an amazing journey to see what we've done as a community. And I cannot thank enough for Austin community for supporting of our cause. We were able to transform lives of more than 125,000 people out of getting a clean water close to home. And I owe this to the community of Austin and beyond.
That's incredible.
And I also was going to add to that, my daily routine, I'm a runner myself. And then I coach the Gazelles and then St. Andrews. I'm a head coach for track and field and cross country at St. Andrews Episcopal School here in Austin. Pretty much that's kind of summarized a little bit who I am, how many hats that I wear on a daily basis. I'm a busy person, but I try to instill joy.
Yeah. And you've created this beautiful community within the Gazelles that Brett is part of.
You know, coming into it, I first encountered you with that joyous, infectious smile. It didn't know anything about running, didn't know anything about the Gazelles, and I was actually drawn to you as a person. So is that how most people come to find the Gazelles community, or are you a secondary piece? Or are you a primary? Like, is the draw you? Is the draw the running, the training, the program, the community?
I think it's both. It's both because I do not do marketing, and it's a word of mouth. Anybody that joins the Gazelles, it becomes like a family. You meet incredible people. I am blessed to be able part of a group that really support each other, help each other, welcoming, inclusive. And everybody that joined the Gazelles, you find that sense of what I call belonging, a sense of a community. And so during the COVID that we just went through, I really saw what a true community that come together. And when things are not going well, we're losing people in the country, but people still come together and do the things they love as a community. And so it's so nice to you, you know, Brent, to say that people are drawn by me. People are drawn by what we have built. We have built a community. Also, the results. The result shows that I've been doing this since 2002. And it's because that passion, that joy that I bring to people. You've seen me. I don't hold back. When I give 100%, and when people see you giving 100%, they want to replicate the energy. So it's all contagious. People think I inspire them, but they inspire me.
Well, I do want to back up. Do you see that joyous attitude that you give? Do you see that in yourself naturally? Yourself that way? Do you see yourself as joyous and infectious?
I don't judge myself. People judge me, or people to tell, not me. What I try to do, I try to lead by example. I will not tell you to do something I don't believe in. So it started with that mentality, that mindset. You know, running can be fun. Running can be stressful, but the thing is, I try to make it fun. And so people replicate that. They see the way I carry myself, the way I live my life, the way I coach. And so that's what is drawing people. There is a unique about, you cannot teach that. It's something you grow with, you grew up with. It's something that is in you. Yes, I try to lead by example. One of my daughters told me that I'm always smiling, I'm always happy. And that was pretty sweet to hear from your own daughter. Dad, you're always happy. How do you do that in the midst of, you know, things might be going wrong? I can never tell there's something wrong with you. And that's what you're thinking, but it's so awesome to be able to hear from your own, the people that you work with directly.
Yep. So with the Gazelles community, it's really a community. To me, it's much more of a community first and a run second. And I realize I have running goals, and everyone there has running goals. Is that how you intentionally formed it, or how much of a hand did you personally play in building that like community aspect of the group?
Yeah, so we have so many programs, running group here in Austin. And again, as I said, they look at the results. What are the most thing? What is the number one key that is drawing people to join the Gazelle? Definitely is the community. And to build that community is, for me, anybody that comes to the group, I want to make sure that that person is touched. In what way? Meaning, pay attention to their body, correct their forms. They also, they have a choices to come to the Gazelle. They can join other groups, but they choose the Gazelle. So I make sure that I deliver. It's not just, we run with joy, the mantra. You also have to instill that joy. Come to practice, have to start from by me. I have to come with that energy. I have to set the tone. And I think if you come there, everybody's happy. Everybody support each other. Everybody's enjoying what they're doing. And that's where that run with joy come from. Joy first. You got to enjoy what you're doing. You got to love what you're doing. At this moment, time will come and you improve. And that's how we do it.
Okay, Gilbert, so let's get into the details about the Gazelle's community. How big is it and what makes it so connected and it makes it part of their identity? Like, I'm not a Gazelle, but I meet other people and they know Brett and they know you. And as soon as I mention the Gazelles, there's this immediate, like, we're in the family.
The Gazelle right now, this is something that, you know, financial people would tell you, he's bad, right? Right? Because I do not try to keep up with the number.
Okay.
I believe if you start counting, if you start, you get greedy and I want this. Yes, I have a set a goal. But to me, every athlete, every Gazelle that shows up, it's a blessing to me. And so instead of wasting the time thinking I'm having 1,000, I think when it's kind of like 500, anywhere between 400 and 500 Gazelles right now.
Really?
Yeah, the active. And so to that extent, but they all spread out. People are like, oh, that's a big group. But no, they were spread out. There's a morning, there is midday, and also there's an afternoon.
There's really early morning.
And then there's the later morning, which is Brett's group that they called the friendlies because they've gotten more sleep.
That's right. They're happy because they got more sleep and they got a chance to drink coffee. They are so, when they show up, and it's even hard to start a class because they're all just want to chat. And, unlike the 5:30 group, the 5:30 is like, I got to get out of here. I do my work and I'm out of here. So then there's a group meeting 5:00. And if you want to experience and see what a true community that comes Saturday. And so when you join the Gazelles, we take the stress out of your routine. Mm-hmm. You don't need to carry water. And that's something I've done over the years. We do water for the group. Every 2 miles and a half, there's a water. We have a team crew that sets up the water and then help the kind of people don't have to stress or carrying water with them. You know, when you run with us in the summer, you appreciate it more than anything. Or if you are visiting, or if you live, you know, in a place where you always run alone, carry like 20 ounces of water. When you have a water every two and a half, you appreciate it. And you know how important it is to hydrate throughout your run. I used to do something crazy when I would send athletes to do, mostly fast people. I would tell them, go slow, start slow, and finish fast. Mm. Don't go fast. If you go fast, you run out of steam, so you won't be able to finish. It's all about finishing. Finish strong. Finish fast. And so they would go out hard, and I would be hiding in the woods, waiting and watching. And then at the end, I'm like, what happened? Oh, I blew up. I went fast. And I said, yeah, I saw it. I was there. So, except I stopped doing that because somebody almost got sprayed on me because I was like, slow down. And they had a spray. Yeah. So bad. But all those are great stories, great memories that you won't forget. So,
especially if you get sprayed.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So when someone joins the Gazelles, it's a transformative experience. How do you explain, like, what changes with a person and their life and obviously their physical abilities?
Man, I can't talk to you. I can talk about you, but I can talk some.
You can talk about Brett.
We can talk about Brett. Yeah, I can talk about Brett. Yeah, you never heard this story. So first, when someone comes to the Gazelles, as a coach, I want to make sure that they have been taken care of. It's not a holding hands. It's what I mean is I make sure they understand what they have to do. Usually, I do a benchmark to establish a starting point. Most of us, the problem we have is always doing the same thing over and over. Don't change, but we expect different results. So when you join the Gazelles, we do a benchmark to establish a starting point. Then I ask the athletes, what is your long-term, what is your short-term goal, and what is your long-term goal? The goal might be lose weight. The goal might be run a certain time. And throughout that process, because once they get hooked with the training, the strength, the body started moving better. They start running faster. They start enjoying. They move from group to groups. They go from beginner to, you know, in between and to advance. And that's that transformation. I'll never forget my dear friend, Brent. I called him one day. I said, hey, I have a Gazelle shirts. You look like you're a great representation for the Gazelles.
The red one.
The red one. And he goes, no, Gilbert, you have a wrong impression of me. I respect you, but I take the shirts. So he took the shirts, and he's also funny. And he goes, man, guess what? In a month or two, I will wear these shirts and you'll be proud of me. And he did. I don't know if you know what happened.
I mean, I had to lose a lot of weight to fit into that shirt.
Yes,
I did. That shirt was like a wetsuit in the beginning. It was so tight.
I wouldn't let him wear it, Gilbert, in the beginning.
Okay. But
it's very thin, like good thin, you know, breathable for a running shirt.
But when I see him wearing that shirt, it's called transformation. The man has been transformed. And not only his fast, but also he has moved from a group to another group. It's awesome to see. It's beautiful to see. And so we're not here to talk about Brent. I'm just giving you an example of many transformations that are happening throughout the training and throughout the Gazelles.
Yeah, and with the whole group, you see that, like, it's not a unique story of transformation for me. I mean, I see everyone come in. I see tons of people get faster. And then I see them make those personal connections. So during the training part, you're not so much of the personal connection, person to person, finding a running. You are part of finding someone somewhat in their same pace to help them have a companion during the process. But what do you see when you see people pairing up or forming small groups and running together on their own outside of class? Like, how much of that do you take part in? How much of it are you just a witness to?
It's both a witness and a take part, because that connection goes from when you join a group, you're nervous, you think you're the slowest until you meet other people, right? Or you think you're the fastest until you meet other people. But running it together, it brings the community together. And how often when you finish a run and your friends like, let's go get a coffee. It's not just about running. You go share a meal together. You check restaurant. You check a good coffee place as a group, as together. And then you talk about sometimes no sense, but sometimes something that makes sense. It jokes around. What I used to do, I used to sing with the people that I run with. And when we're singing, I'm teaching them, when we run, we sing, so we forget, not the pain. You kind of, it's a rhythm. It's a help with a rhythm, also help you breathing. And so, and people will be like, oh, let's sing as we run. It becomes fun. So that Saturday, it goes from, or the recovery runs, it goes from you having a bad day, and you get to the people that you run with, everything they said, Brandy, you're awesome. Hey, so you're good. It's to kind of lift you up. And then it becomes like a habit. I'm not going to miss that because these people care about me. These people, they lift me up. And so over time, that's how you create that community. That's how you create a place for, I want to be there. I want to be there because it's fun, because it's a group over that. We share this common goal, which is either to run a marathon or train together. So becoming so close. So I see a pocket of group. To me, I feel there's a sense of like satisfaction because I am happy because the community that I've created, look, it's growing. And then we all come together on the Saturdays. So the other piece is transformation.
All right. I heard recently that matchmaking is a thing within the community and that there are a lot of married couples that met through gazelles.
Are you surprised?
No.
So, yes, there is a couple people that, a couple families, some are still with running with the gazelles. The kids are what, 13, 14?
Oh, yeah, my goodness.
Yeah. Started long, remember.
Okay, how long have you been doing this?
Official 2002, April.
So 22 years.
Yeah, 22 years. I've been doing this 22 years. And there are people that have been with me for whole time up to today.
Wow.
Up to today. So think about those, someone who was in 20s, you know, graduated from college, looking for, you know, like, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend. And then they met, they're married. Now they have kids. Yeah. So we have many people that have joined the gazelle. One of the story that I will never forget. If you are listening, I'm not going to say the name, but if you are listening, there was this man said, hey, you have a community. No, you know, ask if there was any, you know, single women. I said, yeah, I have one for you. And then this woman was having difficulties because her boyfriend just moved away from Austin. I'm like, I have a man for you. And they look at me like, who is this guy? So I arranged kind of, it was kind of like not a blind date, a date where they can see each other. And so I said, that's the girl. I told the guys, that's the guy. They saw each other and I finally started pouring. And the pouring rain is a blessing. And so we went to run takes and started pouring. We were like trying to get away from the rain. And guess what? I got a chance to introduce them. They changed the number. They went for breakfast. And then I got a call from everybody. Thank you, Gilbert. I love him. Thank you, Gilbert. I love her. That was the beginning. And so they're in a group. And a couple of times that happened. And so when you have a community that care for each other, that support each other, and believe it or not, these people that get up every morning, it takes different personality. And so I'm not surprised people are finding each other because you have common goals.
So Gilbert, what's next for the gazelles?
You know, the gazelles, people ask maybe for what's next for you. I'm going to keep doing this thing until I can't do anymore. I love to coach. I love to help people set a goal. I love people working hard. I am a very, very competitive person, but I don't bring it to the gazelles. They don't know. They don't need to see
it. Really?
Yeah. Why do you think I haven't done a race? What do you think I haven't done a race? I don't want to go in a race until I'm ready. And when am I going to be ready? It's a priority to have a switch, have changed. I'm involved in so many things. And I don't like to give a 20% here, 20% there. I give 100% to what I'm doing. And then as a kid now, but to go to college, then I can start, you know, I have a time to compete. I'll be time to compete. I love to compete. I love to race. I bet Brent would love to see me competing too.
I would love to see you
compete. I would show up to watch that.
Yeah. My last time I ran a marathon, Austin Marathon, was 2015, 16. Yeah. It's almost 8 years. It's time.
Yeah, you also can't quietly go run a marathon and not tell anybody because everybody knows your face.
You're right. And I don't want people to say, I beat Gilbert. No, you know, I'm competitive.
Do you need to win? Do you need to be the winner?
No.
You just have a certain time you
want to
hit.
I have a certain time I want to run. To me, I like to do it right, not just to jump in and just to do it. I have to put it with the why. Why am I doing this? What is the reason to do a certain race?
Yeah, like so, you want your students to do.
Yes. You got to put the why. So once you have that reason, then you go for it.
All right. So you're a huge inspiration. Where do you draw your inspiration from? Not just the Kissels that are running that fill you up personally, but where do you get filled back up personally?
You know, inspiration. Oh, my gosh. I think when I see myself, I see a person who was given a second chance. And please allow me to tell the audience.
Absolutely.
What happened and what I get the joy, why I run with joy. Back 1993, October the 21st, it was the worst day of my life. That day, Burundi has two major tribes, Hutus and Tutsis. And the Hutu president was assassinated by the army. And in act of retaliation, the Hutu tribes went to revenge. And so they came to my school, like every Tuesday could find, and put in a burning building. I was in the burning building for 8 hours, praying to God, trying to understand, because the people that put out in the fire, I knew them. And this is a school that was a Christian school. It was a Quaker school. So to me, you know, there's no way the Bible said you should kill your enemy. It's clear. You should love your enemy and love your neighbors. And so it was really hard to kind of put together. Here I am in a fire burning.
How old are you at the time, Gilbert?
I was a senior in high school. I was trying to understand how in the world that could happen to human being. How can you burn people? This is in the midst of people burning. But I had a voice. That's why the name of the book is called This Voice, My Heart. It was the voice that was telling me I'll be all right. But I could not, you know, there is this voice telling me I'm all right. But at the same time, I'm witnessing people dying. And it was this like back and forth. How am I going to get this situation? The voice is, what is this voice? First of all, what is this voice? I had this assurance that tell me that I'll be all right. But the reality, people were burning. And so it was very hard to comprehend. I got angry. I got really angry. In the fire, I just want to take away my life. I just want to suicide myself. I landed up and landed on the concrete. It was concrete. Nothing happened. The voice said, you'll be all right. Yes, I'm trying to take away my life. Because it was so hard watching people dying and I'll be next. Finally, I said a prayer. I said, God, please forgive me. As a teenager, I was someone who cared about running, someone who, like, everybody would go, we go to church. I would go play ping pong, or I would go run. And so when I was in the fire, I was like, maybe I've been punished. Brought up as a Catholic, I had that guilt. Maybe I've been punished because not going to church, because that's what they would tell us at the church, you know. Anyway, the guilt in that fire came up. And I started accusing myself of the thing I was not doing right. And I just said, God, please forgive me. At that moment, there was I cannot tell you how many window of opportunity to get out. So we were locked up in the building, set on fire. I took a dead body and broke the window because the window has been on fire. So these people, what they did, they put like 18-wheeler truck burning next to, putting a frame next to the window. So the window was kind of red. And I almost punched it, but I used a dead body, so it's a pop-up open. As I was able to do it, I landed in the midst of the people that were trying to kill me. In the midst of them. They could not see me. It took maybe 10, 15 minutes to realize that I was in heaven. The nice air, I've been in a place where it's burning, watching people die. Now I'm outside. But the journey to survive is about to start because these people, they were not going to give up. They want to make sure they eliminate, kill everyone. And so I ran and I was chased by mob. I ran everybody. I ran faster than them and I disappeared in the woods. It was dark, it was the night. So they gave up. When I look back, why they gave up, I don't understand. First of all, I don't understand how I got up, how I was able to punch, one punch, a bar pop up.
And you're physically burning.
I'm burning. Right? Yeah, I'm on a third degree burn, at least 30% of my body. And so when I think about those moments, how did I get up? I landed in the middle of them. They didn't see me. I ran. I could not run far, but I was able, the 100, 200 meters, I was able to sprint. I ran them. Then everything get tensed up. I could not move to the rest of the night. And to make the story short, I end up in a hospital. I spent 3 months in the hospital praying to God, trying to heal emotional and physically, trying to understand how in a world that the people that are trying to kill me, first of all, I knew who they were. And second of all, I could not understand how a Christian community can be disrupted, cannot allow things like that, horrible things that are coming to our community. I was rebellion. I refused to go to church because everyone that I see the church, I was like hypocrites. Because the people that we go church with machete in their jackets, and then after the church, they go kill. So what kind of church is that? So I got angry. And what I did was, for me, I had to find, laying on the bed, trying to heal emotionally, physically, I chose to forgive. The only way to move on was to forgive the people that are trying to kill me and move on. The people that are trying to kill me, it's not after me, because revenge is bad. It creates a cycle of violence. I did not choose that right. I chose to revenge. I made sure to choose to forgive. So forgiveness has allowed me to move on so many levels. Forgiveness allowed me to run because, dear folks listening, running is my therapy. Running is my freedom. When I run, my mind is clear. And so instead of focusing to revenge the people that are trying to kill me, focusing on becoming a better athlete. Eventually, I was able to run. I started running again. I started dreaming big to come to the United States. When I made it to the United States, which was a goal as a growing up, and I look, you know, I ran, you know, to fetch water for my family, to chase cows, to go to school. Then there was that time that I ran in the fire for my life, where life is over, and God give me a chance. Right now, that chance, that gift of running becomes running with joy. When I run, my mind is clear. Every step that I take, it is a blessing. And so right now, that is what I'm encouraging my runner. That is what I'm telling runner, run with joy. Enjoy every moment. Because deep down, there's someone out there who cannot run. And that was me. That's happened, but God gave me another chance to live and to run with joy. So instill joy in everyone I touch, whether it's a grown-up student, instill joy.
And we kind of buried the lead of the story about your life a little bit. I mean, you mentioned your book,
yeah,
which is The Voice in the Heart. Is that correct?
Correct. Okay. This voice in my heart. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. There's other podcasts, other recordings with a deeper, longer extended version of your story. There's your Getting Painted by George W. Bush.
Yes.
So you are not just Gilbert's Gazelles, Gilbert. Your personality, your story is much more expansive than what we chose for the topic of the conversation, because it's too hard to fit everything you've done into this small boiled down piece. So we always like to ask our guests what our listener community, what can they do for you, Gazelles, or the Gazelles Foundation?
Dear listeners, I went through hell. But through forgiveness, I was able to forgive my enemy and move on. We have to forgive each other. We have to forgive ourselves. We have to forgive what we call our enemies and move on. And for me to be able to move on, to channel my energy through things that I believe and love it, which is one running, the gazelles. If you live in the Austin area, or if you ever visit Austin, come run with us. Come experience yourself. Because it's a true community. And through the community, I've told you that we built a Run for the Water. It's a race that we host in November. It's going to be November 3rd. Come support us. Run for the Water, which is a race that raises money for the Gazelle Foundation. Every runner that runs the race, you're providing clean water to a family for life. And so through the Run for the Water, you'll be able to support the Gazelle Foundation. Also, check it out, the Gazelle Foundation, see what we've done. And think about it. Think about the person today. I have the mic. I mean, me, Gilbert. Think about what I went through. I went through hell and back. Right now, because of the gift of God, I was able to co-found the Gazelle Foundation. We are providing clean water to the villages of Burundi. And so check the website. There's so many things you can do, but see what we've done first. And you'll be pleased to see that more than 125,000 are getting clean water close to home. And if you want to be a part of a group that transforms life, you're welcome to GazelleFoundation.com, GilbertsGazelle.com. Those are two major big organizations that I'm involved in.
Encourage anyone to go find Gilbert's book, research more, get to know him from a distance. If you're lucky enough to be in Austin, Texas, get to know him personally. And I just thank you so much for being here today.
Yes, thank you for having me. This was, I was not expecting this. This is a beautiful and wonderful podcast. Thank you two for having me to your home. This is amazing.
What an inspiring story. We've witnessed firsthand the joy that Gilbert and the Gazelles spread in their beautiful community. We hope you got a little bit of insight into it. Find them at GilbertsGazelles.com to learn more.